lesson, and I want you to turn with me to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. I'm really excited about this lesson because it has meant a lot to me just to study it, but I hope that you will appreciate it, and I hope that God will allow me to deliver it in a way that you will be benefited as well. Genesis 48, beginning at verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. I want you to study with me. I couldn't come up with a title, so I just called this Lessons from Genesis 48. Lessons from Genesis 48. I tried to be creative. I mean, I can't. But anyway, just study this with me. And I hope that you will benefit from this study. You know, we are on the theme, an unshakable faith rooted in an unmovable God. This particular quarter, we are considering sowing our faith generation to generation. In our text today, I believe that this is an example of how faith is sowed from generation to generation. In this text, we have three generations. We have Jacob, who is now called Israel. Jacob, probably about 147 years of age. Joseph, who is in his middle age. And his two grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim, or Ephraim and Manasseh, young men. They are present in this particular passage, or in this particular time in the life of Jacob. When you think in terms of the idea of our lesson, here are the lessons that I learned from this. And I don't have time, trust me. I know how you should do a lot of things, but I don't have that kind of time in this service. But I want to go immediately to the first lesson, and that is, what is depicted here is a concern for the next generation. Come on, say that with me. A concern for the next generation. What you see here is Israel, Jacob, the Bible says, is dying. Joseph, his son, who is the prince of Egypt, comes to his father, but he brings to his father his two sons who were born to him in Egypt. Why is he doing that? This is what really caught my spirit and touched my heart, because Joseph is a very successful individual. One who I know has the ability to do whatever he chooses with his life because of where he sits. But it is in this moment that he sees a necessity to be concerned about his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Before he dies, before Israel dies, Joseph wants his two sons to be blessed by their grandfather. And so, why is this important? Well, when you think in terms of being concerned about the next generation, we must first accept the fact that the present generation will die. I know the Bible says that he was sick, but that's not because he was sick with some disease. Sick there actually means that his body had worn out. His body would no longer support life. And so because of his failing health, it is believed and is known that Israel or Jacob is about to die. And so may I say to us that the reason we need to be concerned about the next generation is because the present generation is going to die. I don't care how we fix it up. I don't care how we prop it up. We're going to die. And every day there seems to be signals telling us that we're on our way back to the grave. I go to my doctor with an ailment, and he says, "How old are you?" And I tell him how old I am. He said, "You're suffering from aging." And that's what's going to happen when you age. And so he's not one who just believes in giving you a lot of medication. He just says, accept the fact that we're not going to live here forever. And so our body, and I won't give you his name and I won't tell you, because I don't want you to be going to him and blaming me if you didn't get some medication. What I like about this is that when word came to Jacob that his son Joseph was coming, the Bible says he strengthened himself, which means that here's another great lesson, and that is that the younger generation gives great motivation and encouragement to the older generation. When you and I recognize that we are interdependent on one another and how we need one another, the younger working with the older generation, the older working with the younger generation, that's because we are concerned about the next generation. And then another thing, the reason we ought to be concerned about the next generation is because the older generation prepares a foundation for the next generation. The foundation, you got to understand that Jacob prepared a foundation on which his sons, if you read all of Genesis, actually begins in chapter 47 and it goes through 48 and 49. This is where he is blessing his sons. But it's coming from his legacy, the foundation of his life and the foundation of his father and his grandfather have laid a foundation for this next generation. And what I like about it is that when you think in terms of Joseph, Joseph does not want his sons to grow on the foundation or the legacy of what he had gained and experienced in Egypt. Hear me well. He knew that those boys could live a fantastic, successful life if they were just associate themselves with the Egyptian culture. But his desire is to bring his sons to their grandfather, that those two boys would build their lives on the legacy and the foundation of the Hebrew nation. He wanted them to understand that there is a history that you boys need to be associated with. And before my father passes, I want my father to bless you. And I want you to understand. So as I go through life, I understand where I am. And I understand where my children are. I understand where my grandchildren are. But I must keep in mind that as I live and as I move about, I must be concerned about the future generations. I've got to lay the kind of foundation and the legacy. I hear someone say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm single and I'm not married and I don't have children. Well, let me say to you that if you're part of this present generation, though you may be single, we are all responsible for that next generation. And we must become a village where we do what we can. Don't just live your life as a single, as a person who is just interested in what goes on in my life. You've got to recognize that we're interdependent on one another. The story of the bridge builder becomes excellent poem that helps us to understand that we build bridges for the generation to come behind us. And then another thing is that while we build this foundation, we're going to have to teach the younger generation. If you're concerned about them, then you must teach them. You've got to teach them. You've got to take time. I don't want to do much confessing, but I do want to say this, that we pass up a lot of opportunities to really teach our future generations and that next generation. That's why God puts a lot of emphasis. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he says, you got to do it early. Do it while you are able to train him up in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I know what Proverbs is, but I'm telling you, it never would have made it into Proverbs if this was not an axiom that is basically true. And you got to understand that what God is saying to us is that take time and teach them. That's why in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, he tells the children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, he's talking to the children, but I'm telling you that he wants the fathers to train up and bring up your children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. So if we're concerned about the next generation, and I know this congregation is because of the emphasis that we put up on our youth, and we do an excellent job. And I'm just saying, let's keep it up. Let's keep our awareness there. Because we know that what we're doing, we're building a foundation for them. And we are doing what we can to give them a good start in life that they may be able to be successful. But then here's another lesson, not just concern for the next generation, but here's another one that I gleaned from there. And that is, God is the God of all generations. You know, the passage that says that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, and that he is the one who is the keeper of all generations. You know, Psalm 90. Here's what I find. Here's what I find in this text. And that is that God is the Father, or he is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac, and he is the God of Jacob. Watch this. Isaac dies. Jacob is going to die. Oh, beautiful point. While Abraham dies, while Isaac dies, while Jacob is dying and will die, what's left is God. The God of Abraham is the God of Isaac. The God of Isaac is the God of Jacob. And the God of Jacob is the God of Joseph. And the God of Joseph is the God of Ephraim and Manasseh. The God of Ephraim and Manasseh is the God of my grandfather, the God of my father, the God, my God, God of my children, God of my grandchildren, God of my great-grandchildren. God is from everlasting to everlasting, which simply means that God is a keeper of all generations. And the beautiful thing about it is that God consistently allows each generation to be able to prosper and to build and be able to contribute to the next generation. We are building blocks. And that's why God wants us to make sure that we understand that. And that's why in our text, what you find is Joseph, who is Israel, will adopt. He will adopt Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh or Ephraim. He will adopt them. When you look at this, beautiful story. Just study it. Go back and study it. You will find that actually Reuben was the firstborn. Are you with me? Reuben was the firstborn, but Reuben disappointed Israel. And so what is happening here is old man Jacob is replacing as firstborn. Are you with me? Joseph and his boys, and he is adopting them. He said, they're going to wear my name. In other words, they will become my children, being benefited by my legacy and the legacy of their father. Don't get caught up in Egyptian culture. That is not your future. The future is built on the promises that God gave to Abraham, the promises that he gave to Isaac, the promises that he gave to me. He said, what you boys need to understand is that this is your legacy, and I am the God who brought this promise, the God who brought your grandparents. And when you think in terms of that, here's the beauty of it. And that is, number one, The faith of all continues to be one of continuity. When you have the same God of all generations, the faith of the father, the grandfather, the faith of the children, the faith of the grandchildren, is because they all have the same God. They all believe in the same God. May I say to us here, you better be careful when you have a God other than the God of creation. And when you don't recognize and have that God in your life, it's going to affect everything that you do. Oh Lord, I know it's the truth. Because see what God, you know, we can say that, okay, God is to be worshipped, and God is the one that I pay homage to. But watch what worshiping God really is all about. Here's what it's really about. God is teaching us how to live with one another. And so that's why the Ten Commandments became so important to the children of Israel. It's because he was teaching them morally. He was teaching them how to live morally, how to live a holy life. And the way that you live a holy life is the first thing that you got to do is acknowledge that I'm your God. Do not have other gods before me.
But it wasn't just that God was a jealous God. He knew that your success was bound to the fact that you had to have him as the only God in your life. I don't know, but I'm telling you that if these generations are going to be able to survive in the culture in which they find themselves, they got to keep their eyes on the God of all generations. And that's why in every generation, you'll find that you'll have permanent values. Permanent values come through all of them. In other words, you won't steal, you won't kill, you won't, you honor your father and your mother, and you won't covet, and you, all of those things. And I know that. But then my last point. Now, I'm talking about the God is the God of all generations. And this is what Jacob wanted. And this is what Joseph wanted from Jacob. He wanted his sons to make sure that the values that the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the children of Israel had. Abraham lived in a foreign culture. Isaac lived in a foreign culture. Jacob is now living in Egypt, but he also lived in a land that really was not his. It was promised, but it was not his yet. And all I'm trying to show you is that the only way that you and I can survive in the culture in which we live is that God has to be your God. That's how you stay centered. That's how you stay where you are, is that you worship the true God. Now, you young people, listen to me. Some of you young people, I know you are in the process of making decisions, and especially you graduates, you're in the process of making decisions as to how you're going to live your life and what you're going to focus in on. But I'm going to tell you, I'm an old man now. I don't look like it, but I'm an old man now. That's a joke. But having experienced, and I thank God for the experience that he has given me, I know that the greatest degree that you could ever achieve in life is to know your God and to worship your God. And when you worship of God, your God will see to it that you are blessed. And this leads me to my last point. I don't know how to say it any better than this, but I'm going to tell you, this whole chapter, I'm talking about chapters 48 and 49, you know what it's all about? It's about blessings. No. It's about blessing. It's about transferring blessings from one generation to another generation. Oh, that's what he's doing. The reason that Jacob is there and the reason Joseph has come to Jacob before he died, you've got to bless my boys. Put your hand on them and bless them. Let them see. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let them see that their true blessings come from the God of Israel, not the gods of the Egyptians. If you want to be blessed, I know you have aspirations to be this and you have aspirations to be that, but let me tell you, your blessing don't come from your aspiration. Your blessing come from God. It is in God in whom we live, move, and have our very being. God is the source of all of our blessings. Oh, Lord, I'm getting so old now, I can't keep it all in. But listen. I'm sorry, baby. No. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You don't get where you are. You didn't even get up this morning unless God got you up. I know what I'm talking about. And Joseph knew that. Joseph knew it. Joseph knew how he got to where he was in Egypt. God brought me here. He knew how Abraham got to where he was coming out of the land of Ur. He knew how Isaac. He said, let me tell you some blessings. I didn't got to. Listen to me. Here's what blessings mean. Blessings means having favorable circumstances. No, anytime you hear the word bless, bless me. Your blessing, what that is you're saying, may my circumstances be favorable. May good come into my life. God is in the blessing business. When he made the world, he blessed it. When he made Adam and Eve, he blessed them. When he brought Noah out of the ark, he blessed him. He is a God who believes in blessing. I want your circumstances to be favorable. I want good to come into your life. May I say to you that you can't dictate good coming into your life? Nobody on this earth can dictate that. The only person who can dictate whether your circumstances are favorable is the God who made you. Listen to what the Bible says. All. Romans 8:28. Help me with it. Romans 8:28. All things what? Come on. All things what? For what? To them who what? And who are what? When you are blessed by God, he controls your circumstances. He controls the people in them. You don't have to worry about who's around you and who's doing this and what's going on here. If you are in God's providence, he takes care of you. He prospers you. Now, I'm going to say this. If you are going seeking prosperity, you got it backwards. Somebody said, well, I'm going to take this job because it pays. Don't you know you have a God who can take you and put you in a job that doesn't pay well and still see to it that you get paid? I'm talking about faith now. I'm talking about faith. When you decide in life that I'm going to please God and I'm going to let God be my guide and my structure and let God protect me, God will turn your circumstances into good always. You can teach them all you want to teach them, but if you don't teach them about God, you have missed it. You haven't done them a favor. You got to have something to die for and die in and die with. And the only thing I know is a faith. That's my lesson. But you know, there are three things. Yeah, I don't have time. But I'm going to say this. There are three ways in which you transfer faith. The first is objectively, where you actually take the time, draw up a curriculum, and say, this is what I'm going to teach my children. I'm going to teach them about God. I'm going to teach them about the church. I'm going to teach them about worship. I'm going to teach them about morals. I'm going to teach them. That's objectively. You did that. But there's another way that we teach them. We teach them emotionally. Now, this is what I mean by that. That is that this has nothing to do with you directly. This is what you do indirectly, which simply means that they watch you. They listen to you. And what you value and what you say, they are taking it in, and they're forming their faith based on your faith. That's why what you do in service, you can come in and sing as loud as you want to in service, but if you go home and you don't live a good life, you haven't transferred faith. Faith is transferred, really, with you not even knowing it. And the third one is this. You got to tell stories. tell stories. Am I all right? Okay. See, don't go through this life, Beverly, and don't tell those coming behind you what God has done for you and how God has brought you to where you are. You got a story. If you watch Genesis 48 and 49, it's about stories. Abraham's story is known by Isaac. Abraham and Isaac's story is known by Jacob. Jacob's story is known by Joseph. And Joseph wants his sons to know their story. My dad, here's what he said. My children went over with, he was in his, you know, kind of same situation, you know, like this. But dad wasn't about to die, but he was a wise man. My dad was a wise man. It's only on this side that I really see how wise he really was. At the time, I didn't think he was all that wise. He's a wise man. When my children would come, he would tell them stories. He would tell them about their ancestors. He said, did you not know that your great-grandfather was a bishop? Did you not know that his brother was a senator? Did you not know that there's a school named after one of your uncles? He'd tell them stories like that. And I said to myself, I said, why he want them to think that they somebody? What he was doing was he was planting in them a picture, a story that helped them to shape their identity. So when my children left, they felt like they were part of some good family. If I know about your family, I could talk about yours, but I don't know about yours like I know about mine. So I'm going to tell you this. I believe today that the success that my children have experienced to this point did not come just because of me. I believe their grandfather. My son is writing a book. And you know who he's talking about? He ain't talking about me. I birthed the boy. He's talking about his grandfather. That's why this lesson became so meaningful to me. It's because now I see that if I don't tell my story, don't keep it. If God got you through, tell him. Tell him. Now, if you want Bible for it, here's Bible for it. I know I've gone over time. Bible, Romans 15:4, whatsoever was written what? Aforetime was written for our what? Learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Might have what? So what are we doing? We're transferring to our children what? Hope. But we're putting their faith in whom? So that's how you sow it. Curriculum. Emotionally, every day, what you go through. And thirdly, tell your story. Heard a portion of God's word. The beautiful thing about it is that we're in the Church of Christ now, which comes through the lineage of Israel. I don't have time to go through that, but I would tell you that it comes through Judah. Jesus Christ, all of the kings, all of that comes through the lineage of Israel, but it comes through Judah. And the beautiful thing about it is that God has always been interested in the future generations, but you and I are part of the fulfillment of that by being in the Church of Christ. Our legacy is a great one. Abraham is our father. Isaac is our father. Jacob is our father. Joseph is our brother. All of us need to understand that we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm asking you, know your history. Know your legacy. Pass it on generation to generation. God bless you. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, died for, and was raised, will you not become a part of that body, this church, by hearing that gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God? Go down with him in the water of grave of baptism, his father remission of sin. He'll put you into this great legacy, this great heritage. And if you live faithful, you'll be able to pass it on. He'll make you a blessing to pass it on to the next generation. May God bless you. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?